Would you join me in prayer? Lord, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I often think of the new year as time for remodeling. Not so much remodeling homes, but remodeling ourselves. If you look in the magazine section, you see all sorts of self-help stuff. You know, how to lose weight, how to be a better you. It's a remodeling project. Now, we're in remodeling here at the church, and I've discovered one thing, or actually two, that I love about remodeling. I love dreaming about it. I love getting the pictures ready and looking at what it's going to be like. And I love the end product. I don't like anything in between that. Do you understand where I'm coming from? That's why most self-help things fail. Because we love the dream, we love the end product, but we don't want to have to do the work that happens in between. Remodeling is very difficult. Now, we had to look at all this stuff when we started the remodel here for our accessibility, and I was all excited. And when I want to do a project, I want things done yesterday, and I start lighting a fire under people. And someone helpfully pointed out to me, you know, we want to remodel this whole section, put a handicapped accessible bathroom in. Pastor, in order to do that, you're going to have to clean out that area. Okay, now we're talking about all the choir supplies, all the music, all that used to be a church office, so records that have been left there for millennia. There's stuff the Moravian women have their stuff stored there. There are piles of things in all nooks and crannies, file cabinets. And I looked at that task, and I just didn't know where to begin. So I grabbed someone who was kind of a guru with that kind of stuff, and I said, I need your help. Now, she's a very bright woman, and she said, not without some other help. And she recruited some people. She recruited a team. So there was six of us that went there. And we had that done, what would have taken weeks, with six people, 4 hours. It was all done. It amazed me. And I learned something very important about building. And especially when we're building our lives. The first thing I learned was, you can't do it without help. I love it when people say, oh, I have a relationship with God. I don't need the church. I don't need the community of faith. I'm spiritual. And I think, well, good for you, but you're not going to grow as fast if you don't have people around you who are positive, if you don't have people around you who love you and who are praying for you. It's very difficult to grow in a vacuum, and we need a team. We need positive people. I could have done that myself, but it would be there for a few months, but I had a team around me who could help and get that work done. This came home to my sister very early on in her son's life. Samuel was a 4-year-old looking cherub. He was so beautiful. He had blonde hair and blue eyes and very innocent looking, but we all knew better. And Samuel was a precocious little boy. And at 4 years old, my sister was reading to him the story of Adam and Eve and how they sinned and got kicked out of the garden. And as she's reading this, Samuel's getting more and more excited. And he said to her, Mom, I'm ready. And thinking in a 4-year-old term, was he ready to kill the serpent? Or was he ready to find Eden? So she said, Samuel, what are you ready for? He said, to eat the fruit. And she realized then and there that in order to raise this boy, not to be in jail and to be a good, moral, upstanding boy, she was going to need the help of the entire church community. So every time the doors of that church were open, she was there with her boy. Samuel even went to funerals. He went to everything that the church had to offer. As he aged, he went into the youth group. When his church didn't have a youth group, there was a Catholic youth group, he went to that. He was always in church. He is now in boot camp. And what do you think he volunteered for? He's a chaplain's assistant in boot camp. You see, it took the entire church to raise that boy. We can't go it alone. So that's the first thing we have to do, is surround ourselves with the people of God to help us. The second thing I learned was, as we hauled things out, there wasn't a lot of trash. There weren't things that went into the trash can, but there was a whole lot of recyclables. We had boxes of stuff that could be recycled, boxes of things that could be repurposed. And I learned something about that principle of recycling that we can use when we're remodeling our lives. And that's the principle that God doesn't waste a thing that happens in our lives. Even our hurts, even our disappointments, even the things that we say are our failures, we can allow them to fester, we can allow them to build up, or we can repurpose them. We can use them to help somebody else. I was thinking of a gentleman that I met. He happens to be Robert's art teacher. Now, when you go to school for open school day, there are all these teachers in the gym, and they talk to you about your child's progress. Well, Mr. Smith wasn't in the gym because he's the art teacher. Nobody goes to ask about their kid's progress to Mr. Smith, so he always sits alone in a media room. But I engaged him because I find the man fascinating. And he told me some of his story. He was an artist. That was his goal in life, was to be an artist, to sell his art, to have a commercial career in art. And he went to all the schools, and he worked hard. And he said he had an epiphany one day that if he didn't want to starve, he had to do something else. So he decided to get his teaching certificate. He is a marvelous teacher. He inspires the young people. The kind of work that comes out of their class is just magnificent. He could have wallowed in his misery. He could have said, if I can't do this, I'll do nothing. But instead, he took his disappointments, and he has helped generations of kids to do the best they can and to create something beautiful. That's how we turn our disappointments into health and healing for somebody else. I think of Robert's piano teacher. Some of you know him. He is a marvelous pianist. He's a marvelous musician in so many ways. He went to school for this. He accompanies a lot of the groups that are around here that could never afford someone who is high up in the professions. Now, this man could be on the world stage, but instead, he couldn't make it in, you know, a lot of times you need luck and you need the right connections, and he didn't have them. And so during the week, he changes beds in the nursing home. But on the weekends, he's a church musician. He teaches children. He uses those talents to benefit this community. Door County would be a lot poorer if he said, if I can't do this, I'm just not bothering. We need to turn our hurts and disappointments into something of a blessing. I think of all the people who have struggled with alcoholism. And when they deal with their lives, rather than saying, I've lost that part of my life, many recovering alcoholics will then go right back into Alcoholics Anonymous and take care of somebody else who's struggling. That's how you bless people. God never wastes anything, even our disappointments. We got to recycle. The third thing I found is, as we cleaned out and we recycled and got rid of stuff, we found absolute treasures. We found the diary from the Egg Harbor Moravian Church. I did not know there was an Egg Harbor Moravian Church. It's in German script, this marvelous journal that now will be turned over to historians. We found a book of remembrance from the late 1800s to 1944, and it chronicles all the people who gave for these beautiful windows in our church. We didn't know that existed. We found a magic lantern. Do you know what that is? It predates the old projectors, and this magic lantern uses glass slides. All these wonderful treasures that were buried because we had all this stuff around. And I love to look at these treasures. Now, the treasures are specific to us. Somebody else would see that and it would not even register. We have treasures of faith that we sometimes forget about. We have the treasure of prayer. Every time I have a problem, I don't have to wring my hands. I can go to the throne of grace. I have the treasure of forgiveness. I can live a guilt-free life. Every time I mess up, I can go to the throne of grace and say, "Forgive me." And God says, "For what?" And I start all over again. Isn't that wonderful? We have the treasure of hope. We have the treasure of joy. We have the treasure of renewal. When I was cleaning out a box, you know, we all have those boxes in our house, and I was cleaning one out, and I found an absolute treasure in it. It's an old plaque, and it says, "Why worry when you can pray?" Now, if anybody else would see this and throw it in the trash heap, it wouldn't even be for resale. Maybe they could recycle it. I don't know if it has those kind of materials, but it was a treasure to my entire family because it used to sit, it was displayed in our kitchen at home. And it was my mother's slogan. She never worried about anything. She took everything to God in prayer. And so when I found this, it went right up on the wall. And I then called my siblings and said, "Guess what I found? I found my treasure." And they were all jealous, but I didn't care because it said something to me. My sister found a treasure. There was an old-fashioned latch. And my uncle had it, and when he displayed it, we all saw a latch. We saw nothing of value to it, and she got very excited, and she said, "I remember that latch. It was associated, it was attached to a door that went down to my grandparents' basement, and we had many adventures in that basement." And so now she has that latch to remind her. There are so many treasures that we can find in life. Sometimes they're overlooked because we just don't know what we're looking at. Then the next thing that I learned was as we took everything out, the person who was organizing this project said, "We can't go through everything. There was a lot of stuff there. There's a lot of records. There's a lot of things that we have to really take our time to look at." And she said, "We're going to have to just put it aside, and as we have time, we look through that stuff so we find out what is valuable and what is not." And I thought about remodeling is not a sprint. It's a marathon. Life is not a sprint. It takes time. And sometimes we give short shrift to that. We want to be mature overnight. It doesn't happen. Even some of us with gray hairs, it doesn't happen overnight. It takes time. It takes effort. Any improvement we want to see, anything that's valuable, is going to take time. It takes work. It takes discernment. It takes prayer. And it takes study. That's why we engage in Bible study. That's why we read and reflect and pray every day. There was a man in the first Moravian church that I attended. His name was Alvin. And Alvin had no discernible gifts. Now, that seems mean to say, but he really didn't. He could not read properly. He stumbled and stammered over his words. But the pastor of the church saw something in Alvin. And what he would do is have Alvin be a lay reader every week. It was painful because usually your lay readers can read. And Alvin would stumble over the words and it would take him so long to get something out, and we'd have to endure this. But you know what happened to Alvin? After a while, he would stand a little straighter because the congregation would be cheering him on and telling him it was okay. And some people actually would sit with him and tutor him to help him along. And after a while, he became so confident, but it took a long time, that he became a lay preacher and a rather good one. See, things that are valuable take time, take discernment, take prayer, take encouragement. The fifth thing I learned was that each of us on this team had something that the other people needed. Not everyone was an organizer. Not everyone could lift and carry. We had one guy that his total job was picking things up and putting them upstairs. I couldn't do that. The lady who was working with me couldn't do that, but one person kept going up and down the stairs. Then there was another one who was the organizer, who could make decisions about things. We had all this variety of gifts. There was one who just hauled stuff to be recycled. And it reminded me of the variety of gifts that we have in the church and how important it is to be aware of the wonderful people that God has given to us to remodel our lives. I had a man in one of my churches who had this uncanny ability. Whatever job was needed, he knew the person to fill it. We don't want to surround ourselves with people just like ourselves. First of all, it would be very boring and it would be very inefficient. We need everybody. And Clarence would match the person to the job so beautifully. The other thing I learned was that no one complained if someone took a break. We were all working, and after a while it got tiring, and somebody would sit down and take a break or take a coffee break or just sit and chat for a while. No one complained. No one said, "You've got to get back to work." Text reading for January 1st, 2012. The fear of the Lord is Zion's treasure, Isaiah 33:6.